Hurt Show.
All right, so I imagine when you elope or you get married secretly, it feels so good at the time, intoxicating. You don't have to deal with all the hassles of family and logistics. But then at some point, you got to tell your family you got married. And this is where this email comes in that we got from a Burt Show listener who's now got to tell her dad, like, I secretly got married.
Hi, Burt Show fam. I hope this message finds you all well because I'm in desperate need of your help. I've been a longtime listener of the Burt Show and have always admired your advice. I'm reaching out because I find myself in a bit of a dilemma and can really use the Burt Show's help. To give you some context, my husband and I got married 6 months ago after just 6 months of dating. Sounds crazy, I know. It was a decision we made together after realizing we were a couple of goofy kids meant to be. The corniness of that sentence even makes me cringe, but it's true. We kept it a secret initially for various reasons, mainly to savor the moment between just the two of us and to avoid any potential negativity from family, especially my dad. You see, my dad has always been adamantly against marriage, and his past experiences have colored his views. He married my mom pretty young, and needless to say, it didn't go too well. He's visiting from St. Louis this weekend for my birthday, and I've decided it's time to rip the Band-Aid off and tell him about our marriage. But I'm absolutely terrified of his reaction. I know he'll most likely have mixed feelings, from feeling left out, for not being informed earlier, to potentially being upset about not being asked before my now husband proposed. I desperately want to break the news gently and without causing him to go into cardiac arrest or pass away on the spot. I don't want him to feel bad for being the last to know, and ideally, I'd prefer if he didn't realize that fact. I know I'm most likely the a-hole in this situation, but you guys are great at navigating sensitive situations, and I'm hoping you can offer some sort of guidance or at least some humor on the best way to approach this conversation with my dad. Any advice you could give would be appreciated. Thank you so much. Your show has been a lifeline during my daily commute, and I'm truly grateful for all that you do. P.S. I forgot to mention that we got married in St. Louis while house-sitting at my dad's house. What a lovely...
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, if you're going to go in and anger the dude, go all the way in.
What a lovely destination wedding, am I right?
All right, so first of all, let me pull my soapbox over here for one part of this. I think as parents, and I'm seeing this way too often, and I feel like it's infuriating, that your life and your happiness is not your kids' life and their happiness. Like, your vision of what's going to make them happy may not be their vision of what's going to make them happy. Leave them alone. Let them define happiness by themselves. So dad here's all against marriage because it didn't work out for him. You should never get married. But that's not what his daughter wants. All right. So right off the... out of the gate, we should throw that right out the window. That said, he's going to be mad.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to have a good reaction. And I think something you need to think about going into this situation is that his reaction has everything to do with him and really nothing to do with the decision that you made. What he's seeing your decision as like a reflection of what of his past experiences. So it's going to feel really personal if he comes at you and he starts throwing some insults about you and marriage and trying to just put a gray cloud over what should be a really happy time. So I just think you go into that remembering that it's going to be a little uncomfortable for a little bit, but it doesn't really have anything to do with you and your current happiness.
Yeah, listen, I feel like the older you get, the more you realize it's very true what they say. You just can't make everybody happy. You just simply can't. And I think this is one of those situations where you have to realize there's nothing you can do that's going to make your dad happy in this situation.
Right.
You have to pursue your own happiness, and you're only responsible for how you present that information to him, not exactly how he takes it. So if I'm in her shoes, I'm just ripping that Band-Aid off. I'm telling him, this is what makes me happy, Dad, and I hope you love me and support me through it.
Do you have a different take on this?
No, I mean, you did it. It was your choice. It's your life. And, you know, even though your dad is adamantly against marriage, like you have already said, Bert, mm-hmm. like, you know, that's how he feels about his life. He shouldn't inflict that on your life. I feel like at this point, the longer you wait, the more anxiety. It's one of those things that you know you need to do it and you sit on it. And it's just, it's eating you from the inside out.
It's
like you can actually feel it corroding your insides.
Yep.
And you have to rip that Band-Aid. You do it to, I mean, I'm trying to decide. Now that you guys are a team, I feel like you're going to have to do this together. I feel like she and her now husband need to tell him. Because I'm trying to gauge, like, do you want to tell him on your own? Or do you want this to be like a joint effort?
I wouldn't want to be in a room when the dad look at me with that anger.
I feel like you got to man up. You know what I mean? Like, you married his daughter. Right. You got to man up. And I feel like there'll be more respect there if you do it together. So I think sitting on it, you guys go in and you tell him together. And then his reaction is his reaction. And then it's done.
Virtual listener Mike wants in on this. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just missed the last part of what you guys were saying, so I think it's you're kind of coming a little bit in agreement with me here. I think the one thing we failed to forget about this whole thing is from the way she was speaking, it sounds like she respects her dad. It sounds like she loves her dad, regardless of how it went with mom and dad. But, and you're right, it's about them. They got married. They're happy. But the one thing is at this point, they are making it about him because they purposely waited to tell him last. They're bringing them out there to spring the surprise on them. They're going to do their best, I'm sure, to make it as easy as possible. And you're right. In the end, it's about their happiness. But maybe she should give her dad a little bit more credit and understand that, yes, he's probably going to react badly. But obviously, I'm thinking, we're assuming here, you know how that works out. Obviously, he loves her. Mm-hmm. He's done her best by him. You know, his personality, the way he thinks of marriage is his and not hers. But she should be ready to be like, all right, Dad, I know you're upset, but we love each other and I love you. And understand that by doing this to him last and the way you're doing it, you are making it somewhat about him.
Mm-hmm. That's a good call. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
It's the Burt Show.
It's virtually impossible to get, you know, 99%, 100% of people to agree on anything. I found the one subject, though, on Instagram. I found it. Nobody likes Cybertrucks. Absolutely nobody likes Cybertrucks. I mentioned it the other day, and then Cassie sent me a picture of a Cybertruck because her husband was almost converted into a douchebag.
Yeah, he did put down the down payment on it years ago when it was first announced. But the only reason we're not getting one is because the price has jumped by $20,000 or else we would own a Cybertruck.
How much do those things cost?
I think they were $50 at the base and now they're like $70. So $50 for a big truck for us. And you can fit kids' car seats and stuff in the back. We were like, all right, we could actually use a truck at the house. It seems fairly reasonable. But once it hit $70, he and I are both like, no.
No, thank you. So she sends me this picture and I just write, trying not to judge. And 100% of people that DM me are like, it's the ugliest car I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It really is.
We have found common ground between all the political parties.
Yay! All right. So I came across a video on Instagram and I like felt it in my soul and wanted to ask you guys, and I know you will understand this as well. What inanimate object did you feel bad for? Because you have stated that when you're packing to go somewhere, you look at your t-shirts and your t-shirts tell you, please pick me.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you know what? We were just in the Dominican Republic. You got to take us to Hawaii. We've had such great times together. I have two shirts right now that are falling apart. You know how like the little neck part here starts to stretch out before anything else? So I've got two from 20 years ago that represent the beginning of starting this show in Atlanta, and they're falling apart, and I can't let them go because they just are so tied to everything we've done here.
So Liliana Wild on Instagram, she and her significant other had talked about this, and apparently a lot of people had commented that they too have felt bad for inanimate objects. Like, it's a thing. So if you have felt bad for an inanimate object, 1-855-BIRT-SHOW, 855-237-8746.
It's not a living thing, but watching your car get towed is sad.
It is.
Yeah, very sad.
It feels like it's a person.
It really
does.
Bye,
buddy.
So these are some of the things, some of the inanimate objects she has actually felt empathy and sadness for.
My wife feels empathy for inanimate objects, and I had no clue how many other people felt this way until we posted the bottom plate video. But apparently, it goes even deeper than the bottom plate, and so she has a list of all the objects she feels bad for.
This is not all the objects, even. This is just, like, the primary objects that I feel bad for.
List them off, baby.
Okay. So this one is very obvious to me, and I don't get how you'd feel otherwise. The paper at the bottom of the printer.
Okay.
Because it just wants to have a pretty thing printed on it. So when I put new paper in, the bottom paper goes on top. top. Okay. See? Obvious. This one's a little bit cuckoo.
Oh, and the other ones aren't?
Let's say that there's three items on a shelf, like three bananas, okay? Mm-hmm. And I only need one or two bananas. I'll buy all three because I don't want the other bananas to leave their family. Okay. This one you hate. When I get the cart with the squeaky wheel, that's like, right? You know, most people just toss it back and they're so angry and mad at the cart. But I'll just take that cart and I'll go around Costco because I feel so bad for that shopping cart.
It must be exhausting being in your brain.
I cry a lot.
Do you guys feel that way?
Oh, yeah. I was just eating. I got this really good cereal the other day, and I got a little too aggressive with, they're like Cheerio-shaped, and some of the Cheerios fell on the floor, and I felt bad for them because I was like, now I can't eat them. And they were just hanging out with all their friends in the box, and they get to be eaten, and these just have to go in the garbage.
Yeah, you have denied them their destiny. Their destiny was to be eaten. And by throwing it in the garbage, you've denied them their destiny.
They were created for one purpose, and I just destroyed it.
I can tell by your reaction that you've never once experienced this in your entire life.
Not a once in my entire life. This is the first time I actually don't feel like the overthinker listening to this. I have never given these things life.
You're over here like, I just want people to care about me.
Them other two bananas would have just been up there alone. I don't care.
I felt that one. When I see like apples that are all bruised, I'll like take one or two and just go, oh, little buddy.
Yeah, no.
I'd rather you die in my house than here.
No.
Hey, Carly, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, so you guys have seen Toy Story, right?
Yeah,
of course. You feel bad for your old toys you don't play with anymore or that you have to donate or things like that. I just always feel so bad.
Because you guys got memories together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Isn't there enough in life to worry about and feel bad about?
Than just throwing inanimate objects in the face?
That's why people need medication.
Hey, Jennifer, good morning.
Hey, good morning, P1.
Thank you.
I feel bad for the Christmas trees that don't get picked in the Christmas tree lot because they're not cool or pretty enough.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for them because nobody chose them just solely based on their look.
So will you purchase that tree, that ugly tree, just so it has a home?
No.
Not that bad.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, so I found a Reddit thread that I found fascinating, and I wanted to throw it out there to our Burt Show listeners because hopefully we can learn from your mistakes. And the Reddit thread is, what's the biggest red flag you ignored? All right, what's the biggest red flag you ignored in a relationship? 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. So some of the examples, and there is one that is like, it is a hard life lesson, but it is really, really good. So what's the biggest red flag you ignored? He hadn't actually told his ex that they were broken up, just that they needed to take a break. I should have taken a break too at that point.
Ooh. Absolutely.
That is and again, these are red flags that people ignored, stayed with the person, and then ultimately the relationship crumbled.
A lot of people will take you from someone or not necessarily think how they were treating the person before you got there. They won't treat you the same way. And I feel like people ignore that a lot.
I also feel like the red flags you ignore at the beginning are always the reason the relationship ends. Like, this to me seems like more than just a red flag. Like, that would have been a sign for me to just split up. But something that seems kind of trivial that is a red flag is always going to come to bite you in the butt at the end.
Next one, his friends had to convince me to stay with him after I was hospitalized for 3 days and he didn't visit once.
Oh, no, gosh. Absolutely not. You got to go.
Right? And his friends were the ones that convinced her to stay and ignore that red flag.
I don't know if those are your friends.
No, they were his friends.
Oh, his friends.
His friends convince me to say, not her friends.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, girl, we would have come on now.
You got to date one of the friends. You got to start homie hopping.
The homie hopping.
That's what the kids call it.
Yeah. The biggest red flag I ignored was the one I was waving in my own face every time I chose to lie about or omit something to avoid hurting my wife's feelings or to avoid an argument instead of just being transparent and forthcoming and figuring out our problems. Happy spouse, happy life. That doesn't. That's,
happy spouse.
Happy life, happy wife.
Happy spouse, happy house.
Thank you.
He wrote that. I did not, obviously.
Okay, yep.
He meant to either say happy, happy wife, happy life, or happy spouse, happy house, but he just combined the two. Anyway, he said, that's a big fat lie, people. You're going to hurt your best friend real bad if you keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Next, when conversation and meetups are always initiated by you and never by them, one-sided relationships suck.
Absolutely.
Again, this is a Reddit thread. What's the biggest red flag you ignored? Sometimes the drama she had with other people didn't make sense. Like, I'd ask, what did they say? And she would generalize in a vague way. One time I doubled down and asked literally what exact words were said. And she started crying because she was so upset. Turns out she invented drama.
Whoa.
Including faking phone calls, emails, text messages. She couldn't give me the exact words because there were no exact words. She was just an effing sociopath.
Oh my gosh.
That's insane. I do believe some people walk around and just enjoy drama.
They love it.
They got to find it somewhere.
All right, so again, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW if you have a big red flag that you ignored that you want to share so we can learn from your mistakes. So this is the one I was telling you about out the gate. Their red flag. I thought he put me on a pedestal, but really it was in a box. Never be anyone's everything.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a ball.
Like, and that, it's so short, but it's so simple. But it's so huge all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, of course you want somebody to dote on you, but you don't want to be somebody's everything because then what's left?
And this is unfortunate, but most of the time with a lot of people, if you give them absolutely everything that they desire and that you are, they'll take advantage of it instead of honoring it.
All right, Sarah, thanks for joining the Burt Show. What is the biggest red flag that you ignored?
Okay, real quick, I just want to say, long-time listener, love you guys.
Love you, too.
So it was my ex, late teens, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I were together for about 3, maybe 4 years, give or take. And each year he broke up with me around his birthday, and I never really understood why. And he would always get back with me a few days later. It was until we broke up that I realized he would do that so he could freely cheat and basically use the fact that he was single at the time, and I didn't know until after the fact. And needless to say, I wanted closure after the fact, but it's one of those, why do you want closure? But I was young.
All right, so he was getting birthday sex, but not with you because he had broken up with you. Correct. Because he wanted to get it with somebody else.
Oh my God.
And three times you said this happened.
Use that loophole.
That's devious.
I was young. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Sarah, you take that apology back. You have nothing to apologize for that you were dating a D-bag.
You are not at fault here.
You're right.
Thank you so much for calling. Hey, Kate, thanks for joining the Burt Show. What is the biggest red flag you ignored?
Hey, everyone. Biggest red flag was when I was dating my now ex-husband. He told me that his baby mother broke up with him because when she found out she was pregnant, she felt like he wasn't father material.
Okay.
So here I am, years later, I have 2 children with this man. We're divorced, and he doesn't take care of his children or visit with them. So I should just...
So that red flag was what his first baby mama was saying, and you just chose to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, thanks so much for calling. Man.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Look, there's some times when your friend or boyfriend, girlfriend will do something that doesn't sit right with you. You have to make a decision here, man. Do I just let this go? Can I even, like, forgive this, or should I just forget it? And this is where Olivia finds herself right now with her best friend who stole her future child's name.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, shame.
That's a huge foul. A
huge girl code foul.
Well, maybe we don't even have to talk to her. Without even hearing the details.
Forget her.
Let her go.
Screw your friend. Never speak to that hussy again.
Hey, Olivia, you're on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Okay, so this is a best friend you're thinking about cutting off?
Yeah, my best friend who you think would not do anything like this to you. So basically, my best friend and I have been friends since middle school, which is a really long time. That's a really long friendship, especially into adulthood. So for the last 15 years or so, we've been talking about our future, what we want to do, things like that. And he has known since we were young that I've always wanted to name my future children, or like ideas I had for my future children. And she knew that if I wanted to have a girl, that I was very set on naming her Harper Tate. I just really love the name Harper. I don't know. I just fell in love with it when I was younger. So I love the name Harper. And then Tate is a family name. So I love the two together, Harper Tate. And she has known this for all of these years. Well, she got married before I did, and she just had her first baby, and it was a girl, and she named her baby Harper Tate with a K, which is one letter off.
That's more than one name. That's two names. She stole two names from you.
Double homicide.
She stole both names, and so I was really mad because I said, that is the name that I've been wanting to name my future girl, and you named it one letter off, and you thought that that was okay. So, of course, now I can't name my own daughter that whenever that time comes. And she's basically saying that I don't have a right to be upset. I'm blowing this out of proportion. I'm making a huge deal. And she's like, you can't claim a kid's name that you haven't had already. But I told her that this is what I want to name my future girl. You've known this. It's not like you didn't know this. And you go ahead and do that. Like, that is so messed up. And she said that she liked the name too, and she had every right to use it. So I'm trying to figure out, like, am I in the wrong? Like, do I let it go? I feel like I shouldn't let this go because she has known this for 15 years, and you go and you do something like that. I'm so mad.
So you essentially called dibs on a name 15 years ago, and she knew this. Named her kid the one name or two names 15 years ago that you put on the table. All right, ladies, Mo and I can leave the studio now while you guys get heated.
Take it in.
There's nothing you can do. She did what she did. My advice to you would be to distance yourself from the friendship and name your daughter that anyway.
Yep.
Because I'm sitting here, when I named my son Max, I sat here and I said, well, Kaylee, our audio producer, has a beautiful daughter named Max. Then they're different, Maxwell versus Maximilian. But I was like, am I copying him? Like, should I not do that? Because we already have a Max within the Burt Show family. Now, I'm a little weird, a lot weird. So I'll put that out there. But the fact is, I'm thinking about a coworker, my best friend.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No way. You know that name is sacred. And I was going to say that maybe she forgot because it was 15 years ago. But both names, that's a little sus. So at this point, I think you look at it. It is what it is. And you can either continue the friendships. But if I were you, I'd back away.
1-855-BIRCHELL. I didn't even need to give the phone number out because people are heated. What do you think, Abby?
For me, I would distance myself from my friend because this is such a low blow, especially after 15 years of friendship where this kind of conversation, I know guys can't typically relate to this, but like it comes up pretty frequently. Like if your dream is to be a mother and you have a name that you're set on, this is something that you're bringing up pretty frequently. So the fact that it wasn't just like a name like Sarah, that it's not a huge deal because it's already kind of common. The fact that she stole both names is just so below the belt that I don't know if I would be able to get over it.
So I would continue the friendship, but I would establish boundaries within said friendship. And then Olivia, when you get pregnant, if it's a girl, still name her Harper Tate. And when you make the Facebook announcement, make sure you say, when I was in middle school, I came up with this name for XY reasons, and I am so excited that today I get to make that become a reality with my sweet Harper Tate. Because people, they're going to be like, and she too will probably be like, why are you doing this? But middle school, 15 years of friendship. If this is the first infraction she's had with you, I wouldn't throw away a lifelong friendship for that. You have every right to be mad. Don't get me wrong. Like your friends are going to piss you off. I've had a friend since elementary school and middle school, and we've definitely pissed each other off over the years. Even had a couple of years where we didn't speak, but got back together. So I would take a little time away. So, cause I understand you're heated as you should be, but I wouldn't throw the friendship away. But if there's another infraction of like this where she's showing how selfish she is, then you're going to have to start to reevaluate the friendship.
Good morning, Brooklyn. You are part of the Burt Show. What do you got for Olivia here, who's had a lifelong friend who stole her potential kid's name?
So this actually happened with me with my cousin, and she ended up getting 16 and pregnant. And I told her while she was pregnant, I was pregnant shortly after that. And I specifically told her, do not use the name Delilah, because when I have a little girl, like if this is a little girl, that's what I'm going to name her. And she did it anyways. And our whole family kind of just told me that I was overreacting and that it wasn't that big of a deal. And it took me a long time to get over it. But honestly, it's just a name, as much as it pains me to say, but it's not worth really like causing a whole argument over. Don't get me wrong, you're very valid to be upset about it, but it's not something to like pull over a long period of time or anything like that.
All right, thank you for calling. Now, Jess has a little bit of a different take on this. Hey, Jess, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning. Thank you. I feel like snooze, you lose. She had the baby first, so she could name her baby whatever she wants. Cool. And it's not like it's that unique of a name. So, yeah, I think I would just totally let it go.
Okay, well, you just took the air out of the room. So you feel like there's no such thing as calling dibs on a name.
No
whoever has the baby.
She may never have a baby. She may only have a boy. Like, there's no telling. So I think calling dibs on a name is, yeah. Nothing.
Thank you for calling, Jess. Nobody else appreciates it in here, but Mo and I do. I don't know how you could continue the relationship and feel good about it. I think I'm with Cassie here. I mean, I didn't understand how much of an infraction it was before we started this segment, but if it's that bad, you can't be around that kid without clearly having some tension with moms.
Now, I firmly believe you can get over it, sincerely. If you've known somebody since middle school and now you're 15 years strong into the friendship and this is like the first major infraction, we talk about giving people the benefit of the doubt. Like, you're not going to write somebody off for what may or may not be a mistake, whether intentional or accidental. This obviously seems like a very intentional one, but I would be mad for as long as you need to be mad. But I couldn't imagine not being in my best friend's kids' lives. Like, I wouldn't want to miss out on that. So I would continue the friendship. Now, if this is what she's done your entire life, then you need to look at your friendship and be like, why do I let people walk all over me? I need to grow a spine. Or if this is the first one and now she starts doing that again, maybe she's evolved and changed and you guys just aren't meant to remain friends anymore.
So just as I think we're getting out of this segment, more calls come in that are shocking. This has happened to a Burt Show listener twice.
What?
Ooh, hey, wow. Hey, Rosa, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I had a family member on my husband's side and a family member on my side. For both my kids, somebody took one of the names that I wanted.
So had you verbalized these names and then they just went right behind, like, or not even behind your back, right in front of your face and just took them?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Must have been a nice name. What was the name?
I wanted Gracie Sophia.
Aww.
So the family member that took it, it was like a couple months later she gave birth and we went to go visit her. And she was like, oh yeah, my daughter's name is Frida Sophia. Mm. And I was like, oh, she took my name.
If you really want to anger a woman, give them like 9 middle names and take all of them. Every attractive name, every single one of them. All right, Olivia, so there you have it. I will tell you this, that Jess was the only one calling up saying, hey, man, first come, first serve. Everybody else is like, absolutely not, okay?
Hey, the Burt Show.
All right, Cassie, is this person the a-hole? I mean, they didn't give any kind of tip at all, even though they say they got pretty good service.
Yes. Am I the a-hole? I am 30, and I was at a restaurant last night with my mother. She was meeting my boyfriend's mom for the first time. We're punctual people, so we got there about 30 minutes before our reservation, and we got seated with no issues. It took the waitress 20 minutes to get to our table, even though the restaurant was pretty empty. Right away, I could tell she didn't want to wait on us. She didn't greet us with a hello. She just asked what we wanted to drink. We told her, and I noticed she didn't write our order down. And then it took another 15 minutes for our drinks to get to the table, and they were wrong. It's hard to mess up a ginger ale and a vodka soda, but somehow she did. My mom pointed out she didn't order a Pepsi, and the waitress rolled her eyes, took my mom's glass, and disappeared. And then I excused myself to use the washroom shortly after. I had no idea where I was going, so I went to the entrance to ask one of the hostesses there. While I was walking up to the server area, I overheard my waitress talking to some of the other hostesses. She was pissed that she had to wait on, quote, a black table because, quote, they never tip well. My mother and I were the only black people in the restaurant, and she wasn't even whispering when she said it either. I wasn't stunned, but her lack of effort started to make sense. I interrupted their conversation, and I asked where the bathroom was. I didn't let on that I had heard what they were talking about. When I got out of the bathroom, my boyfriend and his mom were already seated. My boyfriend and his mother are white. When my waitress saw the rest of our party, she did a 180. Her service was stellar. She took notes, told jokes. Our water glasses were always filled. She didn't make another mistake. Because the night went so well, I decided to treat everyone and pay the check. She gave me the machine to pay, and I smiled at her while I keyed in 0% for a tip. She didn't notice until after the receipt had been printed out, and by that time, all of us had already started to leave. She tapped me on the shoulder and asked if I had made a mistake on the bill, and I told her I didn't think so, and I looked at the receipt. She asked if there was a problem with her service, and I said her service was fantastic. But since I was a black woman, I don't tip well. Oh. Her face went white, and she kind of laughed nervously, and I laughed as well. And I walked out after that, but my boyfriend's mom asked what happened. I told her what I overheard, and my boyfriend's mom said that I should have tipped her anyway because it shows character. She seemed pretty pissed at me after that. But my boyfriend and my mom are both on my side, but I'm wondering, should I have just thrown in a small tip?
Mo, this one's going to hit closer home to you than us.
Mo's like, I'm so tired.
Well, I mean, no, I wouldn't have tipped. And I don't typically tip for racism. That's not my thing. However.
There's no Facebook group left for that or anything.
Nah, tips for racism? Nope. Yeah, nah, I haven't come across that
doesn't
one.
Doesn't exist.
I do understand the, because that's a feeling where, in being black, you go through often where it's like, okay, I know that this person is clear. Because even in working in restaurants, I've heard that. Like, that's a thing. You don't want to take the black table. You don't want to take the Latin table because typically they're going to tip less. So now when I'm in a situation, because I've heard those things and I know those things happen, sometime even in places when I get bad service, I don't want to leave a bad tip because I know that person is going to react to it as, I did that because I'm black, not I did that because you just gave me bad service.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you overcompensate because you want them to, you know what I mean? But it's a thin line. It's like sometimes you don't deserve to be tipped well, and that's why you're not getting tipped well, but you want to do it because you want to try to change the stereotype. But I have learned, unfortunately, that's not a one-person battle. So even if I tip you well today, you're still going to walk away with that attitude, thinking that most black people don't. So if you don't deserve it, or if I hear you speaking badly of black people, like in my own ears, yeah, I'm not tipping you.
Yeah. What was the general consensus on the reaction to it, I'm guessing?
Oh, everyone said the waitress would get zero tip.
Yeah.
Absolutely zero.
This is the kind of thing that falls under a white person's radar a lot. I think I told you guys that I dated a girl from Guyana, a black girl from Guyana. And as a white guy, I never even noticed the discrimination going on until she pointed it out. And it was over and over and over again. I'm like, oh, yeah, we have been waiting here a whole lot longer than everybody else.
How they treat you, the service you get, even where they sit you in the restaurant at times, you know it's coming from a place of discrimination.
The Burt Show.